Can I come in, Chief?
Well...
Fine. We're right on the border, you know, Jim.
Just to illustrate one of his magnificent contributions, there was a problem encountered by the Warren Commission because it turned out that a bystander by the name of James Tague had been injured by a shot that had missed. It had hit the curbing, and a fleck of it had actually cut his cheek, so that he had actually been injured by a shot that missed. Although the Secret Service and the FBI concluded the day of the shooting there had been three shots with three hits. First, Jack had been hit in the back, that 5.5 inches below the collar. Connolly had been hit in the back by a second shot. Then Jack had been hit in the back of the head. That leave no shots left over. There were three and only three shots. They could do that because only one of the weapons was unsilenced. It was actually a man, Licker Carcano, being fired from inside the Daltex that sent off the acoustical impression of only three shots having been fired. Many of the witnesses realized there were many more zipping around, but they were all silent shots. So that when it turned out that they couldn't explain away the injury to James Tague, they had to adjust their analysis and now explain all the wounds on the basis of only two. So Gerald Ford conveniently raised the location of the shot to the back from his uppermost back, which was already an exaggeration, to the base of the back of the neck. And then they claimed it passed through the neck and exited the throat, turning the entry wound in the throat, which was a nice clean puncture wound, into something that looked really rather gross. And then claiming that bullet had gone into the back of John Connolly, shattered a rib, exited his chest, hit his wrist, wound up in his thigh. I mean, it was as fanciful and fantastic, such as Cyril Wecht, a celebrated coroner from Allegheny County, Pittsburgh, had made it his lifelong practice to ridicule the magic bullet theory. Well, David Manick went a considerable step further forward by finding a patient with similar neck and chest dimensions to JFK and plotting the trajectory. And if you enter where the government claims a bullet entered and exit where the government claims a bullet exited, then you have an anatomically impossible trajectory because cervical vertebrae intervene. I'd always thought it was very peculiar how when Arlen Specter, who was then a junior counsel for the Warren Commission, questioned Malcolm Perry, the MD from Parkland, who actually performed a straight tracheostomy incision through the wound, the small clean puncture wound for Charles Crenshaw, was another physician present, actually drew diagrams of the wound before and after the tracheotomy incision, was questioned by Arlen Specter that instead of asking him what he observed and what it meant, he said, if we assume the bullet entered here, pointing to the back of the base of the neck, and passed through the neck without hitting any bony structures, and exited here at the throat, would that mean this throat wound was wound of exit? And of course, trivially, if you make those assumptions, there's no way to deny it. To which Malcolm Perry replied, yes, but that he was not in the position to vouch for or verify the assumptions he'd been asked to make. And of course, they were absurd and they were false. It was all manufactured. There was a birth of the magic bullet theory, which David Mantic successfully refuted among his many contributions, which you'll find addressed many places. And when I do, you know, my presentations on JFK, of which I've done quite a few, you will find all this evidence presented in all the way in which they manufactured the case and manipulated the evidence. What's absolutely stunning, we're here to the break. If I'm very, very lucky, my guests will join us. Otherwise, I'll explain what actually happened in Charlottesville. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
My
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, miracle of miracles, we've somehow got sound at last. This has been one of the most awkward shows I've ever done because I couldn't hear a damn thing. And now we're into the home stretch. I'd hope to, of course, take callers now, but my guest would have been Susan Lindauer, who's former CIA. Susan was instrumental, well, she was a liaison to Saddam Hussein and in dealing with him, where Saddam very much wanted to avoid a war with the United States, needless to say, and where he offered to buy 1 million cars a year for the next 10 years if only the U.S. would not attack. And as Susan was departing, he said to her, "And if that's not enough, make it 20. Absolutely wonderful that it should have been 20. If we had done that instead of attack Iraq, the U.S. would be so much better off. But we were following the Israeli agenda. The 9/11 was brought to us, compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, who'd come from the Project for a New American Century. Virtually all of whom were Susan, can you join?
Yes.
Oh,
are you,
Susan.
When are you going live?
We are live, Susan. We
hey,
are live.
Hey, everybody.
Look,
everybody.
We're in the last 30 minutes, Susan. So I want you to explain. I mean, Terry McAuliffe has made such a mess of things. Let me add now, just to give a context to what Susan's going to explain. She was designated to track down the missing $2.3 trillion Donald Rumsfeld had announced was missing from the Pentagon budget the day before, which was an odd thing for an experienced politician to do, since it was such a big story it would grow legs. It's as though he knew something was going to intervene to wipe it from consciousness, and he'd be able to waltz into the halls of Congress and ask for hundreds of billions more in defense spending, which is exactly what happened. Well, Susan and her team were designated, and they found, on the one hand, $80 billion here and then $1 trillion there. And by virtue of having made this discovery, they were entitled to a benefit, a slice of the pie. This is fairly common in the government. If you have whistleblowers that expose financial shenanigans where someone is depriving the government of taxes it's due, you get a finder's fee too. And so Susan was entitled to a pretty good chunk of change, she and her team. But, and here I'll let her pick up, Terry McAuliffe somehow.
Okay, everybody, here's what happened. There's a massive amount of thievery out of the Pentagon budgets. They wanted to avoid recriminations over Iraq. They wanted to move past recriminations on Iraq. And I was doing a lot of stories about the failures of Iraqi pre-war intelligence and the deceptions. So we recovered $80 billion, $1 trillion held by the same man who's got the $2.3 trillion disclosed by Rumsfeld. We made eight briefings to Vice President Joe Biden's senior staff, Steve Ricchetti, who was his chief of staff. Okay, so Vice President Joe Biden knows this, and this is in the last 6 months, the last year, 2016, the last year of the Obama-Biden White House. So this is when the campaign is just getting heated. We're giving these debriefings on this money. And lo and behold, somebody named Terry McAuliffe jumps in and out of the blue grabs the reward payments for our money. We know this because a guy you all know, Chip Tatum, signed for the money on October 24th. I know that because I can prove we had a Skype conversation on October 24th. The FBI has investigated and confirmed that 24 hours later, on October 25th, Terry McAuliffe receives about $20 million from Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton and Lockheed Martin together make this payment to Terry McAuliffe. That's October 25th. October 27th and October 29th, Terry McAuliffe pays Andrew McCabe's wife, who is running for Virginia State Senate against Richard Black. So let me recap. Our money arrives October 24th, and I get confirmation on October 24th. October 25th, Hillary Clinton and Lockheed Martin pay Terry McAuliffe. On October 27th and October 29th, Terry McAuliffe pays Andrew McCabe's wife, while Andrew McCabe is overseeing Hillary Clinton's FBI investigation of her pay-to-play scams. Okay, this is the payment to Andrew McCabe's wife is one of dozens of payments by Terry McAuliffe to Virginia Democrats. Like two or three dozen people get hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm saying to you is that all of this money is coming out of the federal treasury, coming out of newly recovered stolen federal monies. That starts October 24th. On November 3rd, Congress, the House and Senate vote to authorize we bring in $80 billion. $40 billion is designated to the Department of Homeland Security annual budget for the entire year. That's how much this is. I brought in enough to cover the entire Homeland Security budget for the entire year. And another $40 billion goes to the Pentagon. But even before Congress has authorized, so we have the confirmation of that date, as well as the confirmation of the date that Chip Tatum signs for it. We did not wait. We screamed bloody murder. I had no idea who Terry McAuliffe was. I was celebrating our victory, waiting for our money to come through. We'd already filed all the paperwork through Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland, had filed it with the Treasury Inspector General's office and the Justice Department Inspector General's office. I and the Pentagon Inspector General's office. I had additionally filed it to the brand new Attorney General Loretta Lynch. And apparently the FBI has confirmed that exactly, precisely at the moment that I file this paperwork to the brand new Attorney General Loretta Lynch, Andrew McCabe has a conversation with Terry McAuliffe. And the same week and month, March, in the same month of March, they have this, they have a conversation about this money. And then they they discuss this conversation of how Hillary and Terry will pay Andrew McCabe's wife and how they'll run it through this money laundering scam, stealing from the Treasury and then laundering the money from Hillary and Lockheed through Terry McAuliffe, through to the Andrew McCabe's wife. Okay, so it's a money laundering scam using stolen federal money. It is a very big deal. It is enough to send Terry McAuliffe to jail for many years, and it is shocking that that Fox News won't cover it because of my old fight with the feds. But this is not going to die with Terry McAuliffe's election. He is going to have to, I mean, we've made clear that we've got more money to capture. We can easily capture more money, but we're not going to do a damn thing for anybody until we get paid. We are owed this money. And check this out. This starts in 2016. Now, consider this. President Trump set up two more payments for us. And lo and behold, each time, Terry McAuliffe and Chip Tatum get money, but we don't. So Trump tried to pay us. Trump knew about this problem. Trump was legitimately trying to drain the swamp, and the swamp is bad. But he had the Pentagon was the Fort MacDill Air Base was not following the instructions. They are so riddled with corruption, corroded with corruption, that they just kept that twice more Terry McAuliffe got money from the feds, including in December 2020, January 2021. When Terry McAuliffe announces he's running for governor of Virginia. That means that money from his governor's race, some of it has been stolen from the Treasury. A portion of it has been stolen from the Treasury. No question in my mind. Any money that's gone to his PAC, any of his leadership PAC, in 2015, 2018, and 2021 for this race for all the Democrats. Every dollar in Terry McAuliffe's leadership PAC is poisoned by corruption and thievery from the Treasury.
Yeah, Susan, I know it's absolutely stunning and stunning, stunning, stunning.
And I'll tell you, it's not going to stop. I'm not going to stop because in 2016, Terry McAuliffe is not the only one who received money. Hillary Clinton, at the same time that she paid Terry McAuliffe, also paid a lady by the name of Jean Shaheen, who was running for senator of New Hampshire, and another lady by the name of Anna Cortez Mastos, who was running for senator of Nevada, and another lady by the name of Kamala Harris, who was running for senator of California, who is now vice president of the United States, and another lady, Deborah Ross, who lost her race. Those three ladies, Shaheen, Anna Cortez Mastos, are running for re-election in 2022. And I'm ready to beat the living crap out of all of them for thievery. Because this thievery from the Treasury and money laundering, because they profited from this theft themselves. So it's Terry McAuliffe who sets it up and carries it out. But also, and on behalf of Hillary Clinton, but he's not the only one who got money. Jean Shaheen, who's now running against Chris Sununu in New Hampshire, she also got money. Anna Cortez Mastos, who's running against Laxalt in Nevada, she also got money. And there's a very serious question whether Kamala Harris can become president of the United States if Biden is thrown out on the 25th Amendment, because Kamala Harris also received stolen federal money. So this is actually a very big deal. I'm letting you know now, and it's, you know, it's, the blog media always drives the these days. You're not going to get stories out of CNN, or even Fox News is going to hold a lot back. But once it comes through the blogs, we will take this country back, because the corruption is just beyond the scope of anybody's comprehension at this point. It's even worse than you think.
Well, Susan, I think what you've done is made a powerful case that Terry McAfee, McAuliffe, in spite of all of his other, you know, defects, is actually engaged in criminal corrupt activities behind the scene.
Yes.
And that it ties in with Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and a host of other miscreants in the Democratic side. And that, I mean, if anyone had any lingering doubt about it, we've got a report right now from the Trafalgar poll, one of the most reliable, that Youngkin now has a 2.3-point lead in the Virginia gubernatorial race. We got several experts predicting that he's going to win the race tomorrow. But the concern, and you've been emphasizing the necessity to fight right down to the wire, I'm worried about they're using electronic voting machines that can enable the Democrats to steal the election all over again.
I'm very concerned, too. I think that the Trafalgar Group has the best polling, and Rasmussen has great polling. And I think that he's ahead, but they also know that they're losing. And this is a big deal. This is a very, you know, we cannot trust these people not to steal. We really can't.
Yes.
We can't.
Yes. Yes.
So I think that the Democrats are just I'm going to tell you, we're going to be on this. We're going to be on this for the next year. Because if they, you know, here's the choice that we face, and it's not an easy choice, but the Democrats, there is more money that is stolen federal money, and if Biden does not get this money, if you're in the Pentagon and you're listening to this and you hear this by chance, you stumble onto the truth, China, the federal inmate who's holding all this stolen federal money, intends to hand it over to China as soon as he's released from prison in June of 2025. And he has been locked up since 1999. So nobody could get to this money before now. And that's one of the reasons why this has been on hold and it's been, everybody's been kind of casual about it. But I'm trying to make people aware that if we don't take action today, immediately, it falls under Biden. Biden is the president. This has to be done on Biden's watch. It will be waiting for the next president to take power. It will be whoever it is, Democrat or Republican. It will be too late because the federal inmate gets out of prison in June, and that will not be enough time to get it back. So we have to do this under Biden. It's by luck of the draw. This is who it is, and it has to be done. Has to be done. So otherwise they're giving it to China. So we have a crisis now, and I am in a peculiar situation because I know where the money is and I know how to get it back. And if they screw it up, then I don't know.
Well, Susan, I think the broader message is simply that this Democratic Party is corrupt to its core. And then,
corrupt to its core, yes. Absolutely. Corrupt to the core. And it affects more candidates than you think, because it's not just Terry McAuliffe. Terry McAuliffe is a bad guy. Don't get me wrong. He's a really bad guy. But it affects all the women candidates too. And they knew what they were doing. Most of these women were already in the House. They were. It wasn't like they were outsiders. They were all rising up from the House leadership, and they knew about this money, and they made a decision that they were going to try to take it. And it's really despicable. It really is despicable.
Yes. 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 Would that we had the opportunity today to take callers. Mitchell, you're there. Would you have a question or two, a comment from Susan, especially since you're in Virginia yourself, Mitchell?
Well, Jim, let's see. This time of the year, you know it's politics because even the ticks are still out. Unfortunately.
Yes. So what are you saying therefore?
Well, I'm just saying
that you're dismissive of it. Is that it?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen in the election tomorrow. I do know that that Democrats are in trouble here in Virginia, mostly because of their political overreach. Going from really a progressive platform to a socialist and fascist platform combined. The average person out here in, because I live in Southern Virginia in the country, I'm not up in, Alexandria and, the liberal base pretty much of Virginia today. And people down here are fed up with the professional politician. The party politician is maybe is a better description, that people are now understanding that it's not just Republicans, it's not just Democrats. To play within their two-party system, you have to sell out. And that's why they, went after Trump, because he didn't sell out.
Yeah, yeah. So you think that are people still, do they respect President Trump? Do you think that they realize now how much he actually did for us?
No, I don't. I really don't think people realize that. They don't realize how Trump's hands were tied during his administration. And even with his hands tied, Trump did more than essentially any other president in his first 4 years. But this cognitive dissonance that people have and the learned helplessness is fading away. I think mostly because the anger that people are exhibiting today. And when they're angry, sometimes that gives them more clarity to see through the propaganda psyops that we're faced today. It really is an Orwellian world. And, the general voter sees that. Now, what side of the fence they come down on, I can't say. I can tell you down here in this area, very few Terry McAuliffe signs, lots of Trump signs.
Let me add, we have a report here from one of my commentators on my blog that a mail-in ballot lawsuit to prevent the use of mail-in ballots has been dismissed by a judge for Tuesday's election. I'm very troubled by this. From the Epoch Times, the judge dismissed the case on a technical ground that the Virginia Institute of Public Policy lacked standing to bring the case. That's said right. J. Christian Adams, president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. The organization was involved in bringing the lawsuit. Adams said, despite the ruling, the merits of the case were not breached. I'm finding that again and again, that I'm being cut off from getting to the merits. The merits of the case were not reached, and it's unfortunate that an important election will take place with a registrar of the largest county in Virginia breaking the law. It isn't fair to change the rules in the middle of the game. Fairfax is the only county breaking the law. Does that resonate, Mitchell, with your take on what's going on in Virginia?
Oh, absolutely, Jim. Since I have attempted to gather signatures to get on the ballot here in Virginia, I'm kind of familiar with the cold shoulder that one gets when they're not a Democrat or a Republican here in Virginia. Particularly if you're a Democrat, you seem to get to shoe in because that's who's kind of got the power. Now that whole lawsuit, they were thrown out because they were not a voter, a citizen voter here in Virginia.
Oh, well,
that's why it was thrown out.
Why didn't they anticipate that, Mitchell? That seems
I have no idea. Maybe it's their lawyers are not experienced in bringing these types of lawsuits. To me, it should be just a simple refiling of the lawsuit by an individual. I mean, in fact, I would put my name on it since I'm a voter here in Virginia, and I would be disenfranchised down here in Franklin County if the voting laws in Virginia were not followed by Alexandria and by Alexandria County, or is it city? Anyway, and the whole basis of the thing was it's 300,000. I believe it's 300,000 mail-in ballots, or there was something about those. But I know these ballots are the registrar accepted them as certified votes when the last four digits of the Social Security number, which is required by Virginia state law, were not on the ballot. That's what the whole lawsuit essentially is about. It's essentially shortcutting the verification standards of mail-in ballots once again.
Yep. Susan, it's wonderful to have you on. I'm afraid we're going to have to hold our breath and see what happens tomorrow in Virginia.
Well, I want you to know the issue of corruption and thievery is going to continue. It's going to continue for the next, this is an issue in 2022. I'm committed to fighting this going forward.
Susan, after tomorrow. Thanks to all the audience here. We'll be back. We'll be back on Wednesday with the other end.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in...